Oh Lord, I yelled out, be not far from me, save me. Then a little bit later he's talking about, if I make my bed in hell, thou art there. Now which is it? Come on, we see right here. Come on, there's no new thing under the sun. When you reach here, everybody wants to spend their time, you know, reading the book of Revelations, because they think that's where the mystery of God is. I'm going to tell you that the mystery of God is in His dealings with His people. All you've got to do is see that you're not walking through anything new, and that even David, who was a king, come on, that was appointed to lead God's people, he dealt with the same thing. And even Jesus, let me tell you, the embodiment of God's Word, dealt with the same thing in the Garden of Gethsemane, and you're going to have to deal with it, and you got to overcome it, and you have to recognize that your limitations are not limitations to the Spirit, that who you are in your flesh and in your humanity and in your carnal mind does not have power over who God has made you to be in His Christ. I said, you got to rise above your failures, rise above your flaws, rise above everything that you've done wrong, and you're going to have a greater ministry because you did drop the ball, and you did fall down, and you picked yourself back up again. Thank you, Jesus. Worship Him tonight. Worship Him. I challenge you, go read the Psalms. David understood it. David understood. Come on, the mystery of humanity and divinity. He understood these things. He understood these concepts. He understood that God was with His people. But it was religion and the ordinances that had come along that had caused God to be externalized. God now was out there. And our prayers begin to be out there. You better help me. Come on. And Jesus said that the kingdom of God is within. Isn't that what He said? He even said, don't be as the Pharisees and the Sadducees who say long prayers in the marketplace. Isn't that what He said? He said, but when thou prayest, this is how you're going to pray. Draw within. Shut yourself in the prayer closet. Come on. Into that secret place. And the Father that heareth in secret, He'll reward thee openly. He wasn't telling nobody to go and move their shoes, come on, and their clothes out of a physical closet. You better wake up and recognize what the prayer closet is. And so when you find the prayer closet, you'll find out that you'll never be without the Spirit of God, because all you've got to do, come on, is draw within, and you'll find that kingdom of God. I said, you'll find that Spirit of God. Religion's got everybody looking off over here, looking over there. Even Jesus said, the kingdom of God cometh not with outward observation, but 2,000 years later, it is a tenet of Christianity that the kingdom of God is coming with outward observation. I said, these concepts that men have polluted this thing with have so prevailed, but this is an hour that God's going to establish this on the Word, and He's going to build an ecclesia, a real church that's not known by denomination, but that's known by the demonstration of God's power. And let me tell you, the gates of hell that have prevailed against God's people too long, I said, when God establishes this new thing called the sonship of God and the ecclesia of God in this generation, baby, I said, the gates of hell shall not prevail over it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. 2,000 years later, what are they saying? All of our songs, they're wrong. All of our poems, they're wrong. All of our pictures, they're wrong. They've combined together over generations to pollute us. Our mind, we create these veils that are concepts of who God is. Come on. What God is about. What heaven is like. What hell is like. All these concepts that we've got layer upon layer after layer after layer. And because of the concepts, we can't understand the validity of God's Word. Because the concepts that have been handed down by men who privily, Paul said, came in among us to spy out our liberty and then went out to, come on, to distort it and to turn it to another thing. Today, the average person in that thing called Christianity knows nothing at all about God. They know nothing at all about God. You ask them, show me your God, they're going to show you a picture of somebody on a wall. You better help me. Oh, yes, they will. And like I've said before, I want to say, which one of the apostles had a digital camera that took a picture that was somehow passed down? Come on, you're laughing, but we've all bit off on that thing. For a long time, we were on that hook. Amen. And see, poison. Once poison gets into your system, see, you step on something with your foot and you get an infection. Come on. You can't wait till it gets into the bloodstream and begins to affect your neural, come on, functions and the critical functions of your body, which it will eventually. So God has put something in your physical body, warning system called inflammation, that when infection sets in, come on, how many know what I'm talking about? As soon as you see the first sign of infection, you've got to take action against that thing, because if you don't, that poison, whatever it is going to spread throughout your body, and it can, come on, it can potentially kill you. How many know that's the case? Well, let me tell you what religion is. It's a poison that was injected into God's movement called the kingdom of God, that He brought through His Christ and through the first disciples of the early church, that was polluted by man's traditions. It was polluted by man's vain commandments, and it was twisted and turned to another thing today, where today God's people, 2,000 years later, after being set free, are still in bondage. Well, 2,000 years later, after being delivered, they're still under the yoke of hell somewhere. 2,000 years after Jesus said it's finished, they're still trying to work out their own salvation, and they're living in fear and in trembling. Come on, looking towards something that's not going to come, with a hope towards something that doesn't even exist. And they live and they die in that thing, but their lives are fruitless in the earth. There's no gifts of healing, and there's no gifts of prophecy, and there's no gifts of power, and there's no divine revelation to take the next generation into a greater walk with God. And somewhere, God is going to take us back to where this thing all started. You better praise Him tonight. Worship Him tonight. Praise Him. Thank you, Jesus. These concepts, where they come from. Book of Revelation, they don't know what that book means. In order to understand what it is that John saw, you've got to be where John was. Come on, you've got to be standing in the Lord today to understand those things. John didn't see all those things that's written in there as being physical things, like men are trying to point over here and say, well, now this is happening, Russia's doing this, China's doing that. We better wake up and recognize that that's a spiritual book. And it says right there, I never understand how these religious heads can twist this thing around when it says right there in the book, it says the revelation. What does it say right there? Get out your book and look at the first page of Revelation. Tell me what it says. The first page, it says what? The revelation of end times? The revelation of world events? The revelation of the, come on, of ages to come? It says the revelation of Jesus Christ. That means that what John saw was Christ. It means that somewhere in what he saw, I don't care what men want to say, you've got to find out within the kingdom of God where you are, where all these elements are at. Because the Antichrist, before you ever see it out there, you've got to find it's working within you. Before you ever see those beasts, you've got to rise up out of the sea, you've got to find out that it's already in the realm of the Spirit. And we've got to get our eyes open to the truth of God and get past all these external concepts and get past all this craving imagery that has polluted the movement of Christ and brought it to something that God never ordained it to be. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We've all been polluted by it. You don't think you're polluted by it? It's subtle. It works in darkness. The things that 2,000 years ago, Paul was aware of these things. He spoke about them in his letters. He said there are many antichrists. How many read that? Paul said 2,000 years ago, there's many antichrists. Come on. They were of us. They went out from among us. But yet today, everybody's writing books. You know, Ronald Reagan was the antichrist. Come on. Such and such and such. Saddam was the antichrist. It amazes me how these people write these books. The same people write the books. It turns out to be a lie and a false prophecy as well. And then they write another book about somebody else, and the same people go out and buy that book. Come on. I mean, come on, man. I mean, recognize that these are distractions. The world we live in, let me tell you something. It was easier to walk with God in that Bible. It was easier for Jesus to be driven by the Spirit for 40 days than it is for you. Because let me tell you, in His walk into that wilderness, He didn't pass one billboard that said, Ruby Tuesday, the next exit. You better help me tonight. Come on. In His journey into where that Spirit was driving Him, my God, He... I mean, know what I'm talking about. There were no restaurant rows. My God, he was on foot. He didn't even have a radio that he could, you know, a car that he could drive, or no radio that before he got to his destination, the Spirit was taking it to, you know, that there would suddenly come something on there that say, Bob Evans. We got a harder road home than what those disciples had in many ways. And what we're dealing with today, they were dealing with something, listen, that was a new thing. Come on. We're dealing with something. We're dealing with 2,000 years of perversion. It is so. These concepts of religion are so entrenched in our minds. Come on. That they don't only apply to people that's involved in Christianity, but they apply to people outside of Christianity. Thank you, Lord. I'm praising Him. Worship Him. Thank you, Jesus. 120 years, Noah was building the boat. Suffered ridicule, suffered mockery. 12 years. 12 years. Oh, Jesus had a revelation. But by 18 years, he couldn't heal one. He knew what he was called to do. He declared, I must be about my Father's business, but it wasn't time to be about the Father's business. You better shout or something tonight, because some of you are in that same situation. You've got to serve your time. You've got to wait for all things to be given. And when you serve faithfully in the little thing, it's going to lead to a bigger thing. And when you serve faithfully in that thing, it's going to lead to another thing. This is the nature of God's dealings with His sons. But you've got to stay there long enough to increase in God's wisdom and increase in spiritual stature. So when you step out, let me tell you something. You won't just have a profession. You won't just have a testimony. You won't just have a divine revelation. But the blind, come on, will see. And the lame will walk. And the powers of hell will be subject to your word. Because it's no longer just a man or a woman with a concept of religion or something passed down through tradition, but God has marked that individual and has put His authority right there in their life. Thank you, Jesus. How's a drug addict going to be healed today? The Word of God is able. I said one word of God. One word spoken by the Spirit of God and the season that it needs to be spoken. I said, it's going to cause everything to be made right. I said, God's Word is able to restore all things. I said, God's Word is able to recreate physical organs. I said, God's Word is able to bring life where there's death. I said, God's Word is able to deliver and save and heal and set free. And we're going to stand on God's Word, and we're going to preach God's Word, and we're going to believe upon God's Word until we see this demonstration. Who have believed His report tonight? And I said, to whom in this room is the arm of God going to be revealed this year? I said, this year. You better praise Him tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we worship You tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, worship Him tonight. Thank you, Jesus.
Shall He not do it? Who have believed our God's report tonight?
with others will be with you. And greater things even show you that what God is moving us toward a more perfect work of ministry. I'm talking to you tonight. They knew not Jesus came walking upon the sandy shores of Galilee. They were fishermen. Far they'd known, they'd grown up fishermen. When the time came that they left their fishing boats, Matthew was a tax collector. Wonder what it was. That a man who had power to rob the people and be prosperous and rich beyond what anybody could imagine because of the power given unto him. Wonder what it was. That when the Spirit spoke to him through Christ, that he rose up and left and never went back to that taxpayer's table, that tax collector's table. Let me tell you that your hour is soon at hand. Some of you are about to find that Jordan experience. The anointing is about to come alive on your life. The mantle is about to be set ablaze upon your life. And when that happens, you'll get your eyes open to see just how great God has made you to be. Give him a praise tonight. Give him a hand clap as we close out this great service. Come on, praise him. Such a word on a Saturday night. Saturday night live. Live in God. Live in Christ. Live in his Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we worship you tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Worship you tonight, God. We glorify you. Come on, give him a praise. Everybody give him a praise and a shout in here. We close out. Praise the Lord. A few announcements here as we close out. We got another service, or two more services, excuse me. Tomorrow. How many can shout and tell me what time those services are? Somebody tell me.
11 a.m. and 6 p.m.
Somebody, thank God, knows. Everybody else, you got to call that number. 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. right here in this room. Now, we're going to be here in this room. We're not going to be going back to these hotels because we're here to establish something. And how many know you can't establish something in a hotel? There's been too many people through this city who had no permanent address. Come on. And you know the story. We had to get into it. And you know what some of those individuals have done. And we are fighting that. We are fighting a concept that people have of what ministry is and what independent ministry is. And how many believe that we're going to show them that real ministry is something completely different. And we're going to restore people's faith not only back to ministry, but people don't even trust God anymore, that they can't recognize the anointing that God sends into their life and the visitation that God sent into this city because of what somebody else did 20 years ago. And we're going to get healed somewhere of this Harrisburg and go on into perfection with God. But we're going to be right here in this building. Amen. And we're working out a situation where we can be here long term. Now, at some point, I believe we're going to outgrow this little room. How many believe that? Because I preach about a God that added, let me tell you, 1,000 or 2 in one single day. And who had believed the report? I believe that report. I'll preach it. I'm going to preach it. I'm going to believe it. And I believe that God's about to do supernatural things in this hour where people are going to recognize that there's a work of man and there's a work of God. Thank you, Jesus. How many read it in the book of Acts where they added? And they weren't even trying to build a church. They didn't go to one church growth seminar. They didn't even show where they had a building to put them. But we find it, when the people come, we'll find a place. That'd be a nice problem to have. How many believe that? And I believe this is an hour. I've been talking with many ministers in the city. And many of God's people are tired. And they want something new, but they don't know what it is that they want. But they're stirred. They got a desire. Come on. And God has put a desire within His people that they're ready even to leave where they're at and just go and just go back to where they came from before they came to God. And that's a shame. But I recognize that God is going to satisfy that desire. And that God is raising up ministry that's going to bring the people and establish them in something to where they're not going to be wanting to get out of it, but they're going to want to be getting into it. They're not going to be looking at the clock or what time that the thing's over with, but they're going to be there early where they can get the best seats in the house to see what God's going to do. And I believe that we are just a forerunning work of many works that God's got here that we're about to see, and God's about to change the situation. And He's going to bring ministry in that's going to begin to point the people toward a greater faith and a greater movement of God. Thank you, Jesus. And I thank God that He has opened this door, made this way for us, and given us not only a place to have these meetings, but He's given us favor with the man that owns this building. Amen. Amen. And let me tell you something. You can't put a price tag on favor. God is doing things. He's putting things together in this city to where we can do great things. And He's bringing not just this relationship, but other relationships that are getting behind what we're doing here. And we're going to be able to do more. We're going to do things as a small ministry like big ministries can do it. But we're going to do something that makes a difference. We're not going to just add to. We're going to add to the people. We're not going to just raise up members. We're going to raise up prophets. And we're going to raise up healing ministries. And we're going to raise up those that have a word of God's revelation to teach the people the true things of God's Spirit. And some of you are going to be those exact same individuals. Foundational people. So we will be here. Most likely we'll set this thing right now for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Because I recognize that there's a balance you've got to have unless you are dwelling all by yourself in a cave somewhere. When you've got family around you, you've got to have a balance. How many believe that that's the situation? So we're going to do Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays, most likely. But you're going to have to call every week because we're right now trying to fellowship. And God's putting us in touch with some ministries here that's in the area, in the Tri-County area, that I believe that God is opening doors for us to go in and help to what they're doing and impart vision as well as they impart vision to us and what we're doing here. And the only time you can reach those people and be a part of what they're doing is on 2 days, and that's Wednesday and Sunday. And most of the time it's only Sunday morning. So therefore, saying that, there may be some days, and most likely many days, to where we do not have a Sunday morning service. How many believe that's all right? Because if we're not here, we're going to be out doing something to add to what God's doing, not just in this place, but what He's doing in this city and in this region. But the only time you can, you know, fellowship with these people, the only time that they can see to break bread is on Sunday morning or maybe Wednesday. So we're going to make ourselves available to go out and meet with these people because I believe God has got many people, many ministers right now that are coming together and they're saying we've got to change things and they're praying for a reformation of sorts. And I believe that there's a spirit of reformation that God's about to place back in this generation as it was in the day that Luther and Wesley and others came forth and they testified against what was happening in that situation in that hour. And I believe God's raising up many ministers, as well as bringing voices right here into the city and into the region. And we're just a small part of it and glad to be a part of what God is doing here in the city. So we'll be here. Somebody say, you're going to have to call that number. How many know that number? Barry, I don't want to hear you. I want to hear somebody else tell me what that number is. Does anybody know? Come on. Sister Mary, you know, don't you? I don't want you, but you know. Do you know? She always calls. God, do something. Send an angel to smite Sister Sam. Sister Brenda, do you know?
I'm programming myself.
There you go. Now there's somebody that's increased in wisdom. You did what?
Programming myself.
Praise the Lord. Has everybody got their cell phone? Get your cell phone out and let's just cut to the chase tonight and let's program it. Because that is your point of contact with this ministry. Amen. Because one of the things that we're going to do is we're going to stay open to the movement of God's Spirit. All right? And listen, we're going to find out what works in this city. Amen. And sometimes you've got to do things on off nights. And we'll probably do things, probably, you know, on some days that most people don't even think, like Saturday night. Give yourself a hand clap for being here tonight. Amen. Because I believe that there's people that are involved in something on Sundays and Wednesdays that may be tired of it, and they may look over the fence on a Thursday. How many believe that that's all right? Or they may stick their head over the fence on a Saturday night, and as long as it doesn't interrupt what they're doing, they'll come out to check what's going on, and if it's something that the Spirit of God draws them to, then they'll be a part of it. But you've got to make provision for the people. So we're going to do Friday, Saturday, and Sundays, and we're going to try to do 2 services on Sunday, but if not, we're going to do at least 1 service on Sunday. So that's 3 powerful services every week. Come on. That we're going to have here in the city, and I'm going to impinge upon you to make it your goal to bring somebody into these meetings. Tell somebody, come on, give somebody a tape, drag them kicking and screaming. If you know somebody that, come on, that they're sick of religion, you tell them I know a place that you need to be. If you know somebody who's tired of man's concepts and traditions, and there's a lot of them, let me tell you something, you tell them I know somebody that, listen, I know a place that you need to go to, and you need to go hear what this individual has to say, and let me tell you, we're going to grow this thing, and we're going to build upon it. How many believe that's all right? The early church didn't have radio, they didn't have TV, by word of mouth. Because the people were so sick of what they were living under. That's what happened. That they ran to publish it abroad. How many will publish? Come on. And let people know that there's a new work of the Spirit in town, and it's unlike anything. Come on. I believe we're unlike anything that this city's ever seen before. Amen. And I believe there's others out there, listen, that God's going to bring to our attention. And listen, we're going to come together like a great army. And we're going to have dominion over what's had dominion over us. And we're going to set God's people free. Give the Lord a hand clap tonight. Amen. Also, another announcement. Starting this Tuesday at 2:30 p.m., you can tune your radios in to 720 a.m. WWII out of Sharmanstown. That's 720 a.m., 2:30 to 3 o'clock on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and you will hear God's holy fire. How many believe that's all right? Amen. And we're going to begin to get this message out there. And we're going to stir up, listen, a lot of people, both on the good side and the bad side, because Jesus said to the disciples, the kingdom of God is like unto a great net that a man threw it into the sea and drew it forth. How many's read that? And when he drew it to him, he sat down and he had to separate that was good and that was bad. And he cast that was bad away and he kept that was good. So we are casting God's net into this city. And we're using radio to do that. And we're going to gather people, but many of those people I recognize, they're going to come, they're going to hear something that they don't like that goes against their concepts now. Come on. And we're going to touch their sacred cow, and they're going to go right back out of these doors. But that's all right, because we're going to find those that God has given an ear to hear and a desire, and those that recognize that, listen, that, you know, that question why it is we do what we do, and just because it was done like this 100 years ago, does that mean that this is what God is in today? How many believe that's right? So we're going to cast that net out there. We're going to do spot announcements for the meetings as well. And we're also talking to people about doing something on television before the end of the year. So we're going to make full proof of this ministry. And listen, you're going to be glad that you suffered through these long meetings and these meetings where you were the only one in them, because before it's over with, you're going to be a foundational people. And we're going to point to the people. We're going to point you out to the people and say, these people were here before anybody knew about it, before anybody wanted to be a part of it, before it became something that people, you know, wanted to get on board with it. These were the people that were here that walked through the snow and kept through the rain, and they were in the little broom closet places. Come on, and dealt with all the things we had to deal with, and they have labored with us in this vineyard now for 2.5 or 3 years, and we're going to point them out, and then we're going to say, and where were you, some of you? So these people are aware of it, but, you know, they don't want to be a part of it. So praise the Lord. Had to get that in there. But write that down, 7:20 a.m. next Tuesday and next Thursday. And I know the nature of this ministry, that we're going to stir people up on both sides. We'll have people that want to align themselves with us, and we'll have others that are not going to want anything to do with us. Because the things we're talking about, listen, are strongholds that are in Christianity today. And when you start getting, you know, tearing down people's little strongholds, you're going to have people coming out against you. But God's with this ministry, and if we have to stand all by ourselves in the city, if God's standing with us, then listen, we'll stand, and listen, we will prevail over every opposition. Come on, and we will. And anybody that's going to stand in the way of what God wants in this hour, let me tell you, they ain't going to be in trouble somewhere. And I don't want to be in trouble. I'd rather be on God's side. How many believe that's the place to be? Father God, we thank you tonight for this word that you gave us, the utterance of your Spirit that went forth, and that you opened the door of heaven, and that you've given us your word tonight, Father God, because we are your sons. We are those that are of mature age that you have found worthy. And you're giving unto this generation the keys to the kingdom, Father God, even death, hell, and the grave, and the power to loose our brother from the bondage of what they've been trapped in too long. Father God, let every word that you spoke by your Spirit tonight, let it fall as good seed into the fertile ground of the hearts of your precious sons. Lord, that through nurturing of prayer and consecration, even by leading of your Spirit, of giving that body as a sacrifice and fasting, Lord, that they're going to find in the passage of time, Father God, that you're going to bring forth the peaceable fruit of your kingdom, and you're going to give your people a harvest a harvest, Lord, in their lives, in every area of their life. Father God, I thank you that this is the year, Lord, that many of your people are about to come to the brink of Jordan, Lord, and their lives are about to change forever. And I thank you, Father God, that you have honored us once again with the witness of your Spirit, Father God. We thank you and we look forward. Somebody say, tomorrow, 11 a.m., we look forward to that next great assembly in this place tomorrow, Father God. And we look forward to what it is you will do in that hour. And everybody said, in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you tonight. And you are dismissed.